Blog Talk Radio.
She saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight that he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one that got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When fuck walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
Saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
can
I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight?
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to D&K Bible Break. We are live on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, the one and only Elder Derek Oliver, along with my co-host, my beautiful wife, Lady K, is on the air with me tonight. We just want to welcome all those that are listening in through Blog Talk Radio or online at www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or those that called in on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. I just want to say good evening to everyone, and hopefully you had a blessed weekend and a great day to start your week off on today. And today we got I'm going to call it an exciting show. I'm just excited to be in the land of the living, excited to have the mind that serves Christ, so I'm ready to go on tonight. And without no further ado, I'm going to introduce Miss Kay. You there?
Good evening. Happy Monday. I'm here.
All right. Yeah, she's here with her happy Monday, and hopefully everyone had a blessed Monday and a blessed weekend. And I'm happy to be back. I wasn't here last week. My wife took over the show last week, and she'll take over the show again next week. And more about that towards the end of the night. But she'll be running solo next week as well due to my work schedule. You know, some Mondays I won't be here. But I'm thankful that I'm here tonight. I'm thankful for what all the Lord is doing. And for what he's getting ready to do in the next couple weeks. Matter of fact, this in the next few months, what the Lord is getting ready to do. We'll be talking about that a little bit tonight as well. But before I open up with prayer, anything you want to say, Kay, before we get started?
No, happy to be here.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Since we're going to go ahead and get started, I'm going to have, you might open this up with prayer before I take over?
Not at all. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, first of all, asking you for forgiveness for anything that we said, done, thought, anything that was not like you on this day. We ask for forgiveness. Ask that you be in the midst of us on tonight, Lord. We ask that you give us the words to say, Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We thank you for what you're going to do on tonight. Ask that you decrease us and you, your spirit increase in us so that the words that we do speak come from you and it would be edifying and lifting up you first of all, and then that it be meaningful for the people that are listening in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Again, we're going to get into it tonight. But before I make announcements, I want to say I just want to thank my wife for holding up the ship last week while we were gone. I thought she did a great job talking about the process. And I just want to thank her publicly for holding down D&K in my absence and, you know, holding the fort down. But with that being said, I want to just get all the business out of the way first. Let's not forget tomorrow night, same time, 7 p.m., same phone number, same website, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Also, on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., we're going to have a vent break, 8 a.m., if you want to get an inspirational word on Wednesday morning as well. Then on Wednesday night at 9 p.m., we have Elder Bazaar and the Overseer Timothy Jackson tag teaming on a Wednesday night, Watchmen on the Wall, and they're talking about end times teaching. That's on Wednesday night. And then on Saturday at 6-7 p.m. Eastern time, we have the Overseer with the spiritual sense of life. And with that being said, also coming up, I'm really excited about our Chaos Revival, which will take place February 24th at the Holiday Inn Hotel on Sugarloaf, at starting that Thursday night on the 24th of February at 7 p.m. Now, I'm excited about the revival, and the revival is Chaos Talk Revival. Now is the time. And we have some great preachers. We're going to have some great testimonies, some great singing. But most importantly, we're going out and we're going to start. I started today surveying the land and going out ministering to people, trying to bring them in to the house. But we're not going to be at our house. We're going to take it to the hotel. I just feel led to do things like this. And I went to the hotel today, and I went in there as Chaos. Told me that we should turn it up. They said this is the hotel that the people like to turn it up. And I was like, okay. And at the very end, they found out that it was a church revival. And looks on their face after all that talking, I told them, don't change your expressions, because we definitely going to come in here and we're going to definitely turn it out. We want to leave a residue for this revival starting off Thursday night, the 24th of February at 7 p.m. And we have our very own Bishop Omar Zachary preaching. And I had mentioned to him, we're going to have to turn this out. Not that we're going in there to show off, but we're on a mission to feed lost souls. So I'm just asking everyone from Praise Tabernacle that may be listening, please try to attend. If you can, if you just come one night, I'd like for you to attend all three nights. And we're going to close out Sunday morning at our home church, Praise Tabernacle, at 199 East Grogan Street. But for Friday night, and Saturday night, we're going to be at the hotel. And I'm expecting us to show up and show out that night, those nights, because the world is going to be there on display, and they're going to turn up. And I just think that I feel good about it when I went there today. I saw the place. It's a little small, and it reminded me of those old-time revival storefront churches. And I hope we have that oil, that type of pressure when we get in there to put on in that place. I mean, we got to bring the spirit with us when we go. We can't be going there looking for it, because
right around the corner from where we going to be at is a bar. I'm just letting you know. It's a hotel. It's a very, from the looks of it, a very fancy hotel. They told me they had a bar. They made sure they told me all the things I didn't want to hear, but I'm glad they told me because they did tell me that we can turn up, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to give the people a choice. You can either stay over there if you want to, but if we bring the Lord with us and we walk in spirit and in truth, I've expected some great things to happen throughout all 4 nights of the revival. So I'm very excited and very pumped up. Bishop Omar Zachary will be preaching Thursday night. Friday night we have Pastor Rob Rose out of Cincinnati. He's actually out of Kentucky, but he pastors church in Cincinnati, Ohio. He'll be there that Friday night. Saturday we have Pastor Johnny Miller from, I forget the name. It's not Savannah, Georgia, but it's by Savannah, Georgia. So I apologize for that. I don't have a flyer in front of me. And then I'm going to close us out Sunday morning at our church in Praise Tabernacle. Thursday night.
Say that again. Rankin, Georgia. I think it's Rankin, Georgia.
Rankin, yeah. We'll put flyers out. If you haven't seen it, they'll be out and we'll tell you about where they're coming from. But you're going to hear some great preaching, some great words, some great testimonies. And we're going back old school, revival style, storefront. And we're not going to be you know how they have the home team and away team. We're going to be the away team. So I'm expecting us to, you know, pack the place out. We can seat 50. And I hope we put 50 in there. It's going to be a tight fit. We will follow protocol with the COVID and everything, but I expect it to be hot, tight, and I expect the spirit to move. That's just what I'm expecting. And I just want to say this, because I'm going to get into the word in 1 second, but none of us are perfect. And not that we're trying to strive, we're striving for perfection, but we're not perfect. And even when it's revival, you might see little things that could have been better, should have been better, but it's not going to be 100% perfect. And if you think it's going to be 100% perfect, then you're living in an illusion because no one is perfect. And the Bible says that. And I'm saying that because I'm going somewhere with this. We try to be perfect. We strive to live every day without making mistakes. We try to live every day with walking with our heads up. But If you think you're perfect, you know, the Bible says that you are lying and the truth ain't in you. We all struggle with some things. There's no one perfect. And sometimes we as Christians, we like to think that we are perfect because we know how to quote scriptures. And I'm talking to church folks. Because we know how to say amen and we know how to speak in tongues, we think that we're perfect. And we're supposed to say, we're supposed to present. And I heard this, so it's okay, excuse me if I'm wrong. We're supposed to present God our best. Have you heard that before?
I mean, I may have heard somebody say that before, yes.
Okay, you're supposed to present God
your best.
Well, first of all, you can't present your best because if you present your best, that means there's another way comparable to the best way. And there's nothing comparable to God's way. God's way isn't the best way. God's way is the only way. And if you're not trying to live God's way the only way, then there's something wrong. If you're trying to be the best, that means there's something comparable to that. And we're not in it trying to be the best. We're trying to live our life for Christ, not trying to be the best. Because when you're trying to be the best, that means there's someone that can be better. And that's not what we're trying to do. There's a song that says God's way is the best way. God's way is not the best way. God's way is the only way. And when you make up in your mind it's the only way, that means there's no comparison. You can't compare it to this. You can't compare it to that because there's no comparisons in the Lord's house. God's way is the only way. And I'm starting to realize that because, you know, I used to be like, God's way is the best way. I'm going to do my best. And I'm not going to do my best. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And if I should fall or make a mistake, then the Lord will pick me up and keep me going straight again. The thing about it is not as we fall, as when we get back up, we keep going.
That's the only way we know. But if there's another way comfortable to the best way, it may not always be right. And sometimes the devil will trick us with illusions where we think things is right when it really isn't. So we have to make up in our minds and in our spirit that God's way is the only way for us to live. And I'm very serious about that. There's no other compromise, and I'm not going to compromise God's word. It's the only way. And when someone tells you something for you to benefit your walk, to benefit your walk, it's not to be better than anybody else. We're doing this because we've made a decision. We're going to live for Christ, and Christ is what we're living for. It's the only way that we know. So with that being said, I'm going to go to a very familiar scripture.
So can I,
yeah,
I hear everything that you're saying, but there was a woman who, I can't remember the exact place where it is in the exact context, but she did give all that she had for her offering, and that was her best offering that she gave. So when you say, as a child of God, when you say you're giving your best, that should be you laying it all out for God. That's you're laying yourself out, not to compete with nobody or not to say you're better or mine is better than yours. No, I'm laying the best that I can give humanly possible out for the Lord.
But isn't that the same thing as giving your only? I'm not going to tit for tat for words, but when you give your best, and when people say your best, I don't want to get off on a word thing, but yeah, she gave her best that she had. She gave all she had. And when you give all you have to the Lord, that's all that's required, is you give all you had. And the word best is just a word that is to me, is there's other things comparable to your best. You know, it could have been better. Was it your best? Could it have been better? But when you give your all, then that's all you get. You give your all. That's it. There's no confidence that you can't give no more. You give your all. And once you're giving your all, and this is the thing that separates believers from religion, because I believe religion, you give your best. When you give your all, there's no compromise. There's no left, right, or right. It's either you're living for Christ or you're not. If you're going to give something to him, you're going to give him your all. And that's it. You're going to give him your all. But what happens is, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, someone please correct me. When you give your, if I'm giving my best, well, why wouldn't I just give my all? Why do I got to be my best? What if I don't want to give my, what if I want to give just half of my best? See, that's not giving him your all. He's not going to accept a little. He wants all. And I understand when the lady gave her best, she gave the best that she had. She gave all she had. And when you give all you have, you're lining up and you're walking because you're giving him what he required from you, your all. And sometimes people get kind of tricky with the best. You know, I play sports, so hopefully I don't want to lose any females or ladies that don't know a lot about sports. But sometimes you don't always give your best on the playing field. Sometimes you can take a play off. And you know, if you're taking a play off in the back of your head, you know, if you play any type of sports, I don't care what it is, sometimes you take plays off. But the majority of the time, if you're getting the ball, if you're shooting the ball, you want to give your best. So sometimes you pretend you're giving your best. And see, in God's eyesight, and I'm learning as I get older, and I try to get on another level with Christ, I'm just giving my all. I'm giving my all. I'm not going to shortchange God. I'm going to give him all I have. And in giving him all that I have, you can't go wrong. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, because you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. But in stumbling and falling, you get right back up and you keep walking again. And you're walking forward. So what I'm saying is, when you're giving your all, you're not going to always stumble over the same crack. And sometimes when people give their best, they stumble over the same crack over and over and over again. And as I hear people say, and I've heard people say, no, you plan now. When you fall, you get back up, you don't do it again, you keep walking.
But if you're falling over the same crack, are you really giving God your best? Are you really giving God your best, or are you giving him your all? To me, you're giving him what you want him to have, because you still want to trip and fall over the cracks, if I'm making sense. So when you give your all and you trip and fall and you get back up, okay, you're not going to trip over that same crack again. You're going to move forward. And maybe something down the line may trip you up, but it won't be the same thing. And we all stumble on certain things as we walk in Christ. If I got a problem with cussing, okay, that problem shouldn't last me all year. It shouldn't. If I'm giving my all to Christ, it shouldn't last. But if I'm going to give him a little bit here and a little bit here, okay, now on Sunday I'm going to give him my best, but Monday through Thursday I'm not doing that. See, that's where that word comes in. If I give him my all, I'm going to do it Sunday all the way to Sunday. I'm giving him my all. And if I fall, I will get chastised by the Lord. He'll pick me up, and I'll move forward, and I'm not going to sin no more. I'm going to keep moving. Not saying that I'm perfect, but I may stumble on something down the road, but it won't be the same thing. That's how you grow in Christ. If you keep tripping over the same thing over and over again, you're not growing. And you can't blame that on nobody else but yourself. Because if you're growing, when you fall, you dust yourself off and you keep moving. But if you're going to keep moving backwards and tripping over the same hump, then, okay, you can't blame the devil. You can't blame you blame yourself. And sometimes we take these words and we put them and it trips us up. I'm going to give God my best. No, you give him your all, because sometimes your best ain't good enough. But if you give him all you can, like that lady did, she gave all she had. And when you give all you have, there's no excuse. When you give all you have, you're lining up with him, and he can take you the rest of the way. So if you do happen to fall, he'll pick you up, he'll dust you off, and he'll move you forward again. But what happens is, and I'm not even supposed to be talking about this, but what happens is we give our best. And sometimes we give our best. It's not always our best. If I'm running and I'm beating you in a race, Kay, and as long as I'm in front of you, I'm good, because everyone see I'm beating you. But if I even go, I can even push myself to go faster, but I'm not, because I don't want to get that tired. At the end of every practice, we used to have to run sprints. And my job when I would run sprints was I would always look at the slow linemen, and I would always just do just enough to beat them, so my coach wouldn't yell at me. I wasn't sprinting my fastest or the hardest. I would just keep it so it appeared I would beat the people I was supposed to beat. That wasn't giving my best or my all. And I'm going to flip that spiritually. Same thing. As long as I look like I'm growing, look like I'm prosperous, but I could even push myself even further, now I'm going to cheat God. And then we wonder why we struggle, because we're cheating giving him what we think is our best instead of our all. And that's the difference. Am I making sense?
No, you're good.
Okay.
So, right. as a follower of Christ, the bottom line is you have to deny yourself. We got to deny ourselves in order to follow him. We got to have a willingness to deny ourselves. And when we deny ourselves, then we should be giving our all to Christ. When you get that flesh out the way, a lot of us just have that flesh in the way, and we just give what we give, and we don't push it to go any further. So it's important to, you know, get this flesh under subjection. There's a scripture that said that the flesh, I believe the flesh has to die daily or something along those lines. The only way that can happen is if you're seeking the Lord in the process, and you have to be willing. He doesn't want nobody that's doing something half-heartedly, because it's not like he don't know. You can fake the funk in front of everybody else, but he know your true intention. So,
exactly.
Go ahead.
And that's exactly what we have to die daily. But a lot of us don't want to die daily. But I'm gonna read the scripture. A lot of us heard the scripture. We say it every time we're in service.
And it says, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28:19-20. For us to be good disciples, for us to do what God wants us to do, one of the things we have to do is go. We have to go. It didn't say go and stop. It didn't say go half speed. It said go. We have to go. If we want to be disciples of Christ, we want to be followers, if we want to do what God, what we were called to do, and this is one of the things we were called to do, is to go, therefore, and teach all nations. That means we have to go. And then when we go, we have to teach. In order to, we have to get into the Word. So you can't go if you can't teach. You can't teach if you're not in the Word. So when you say you're giving your best, see, some people can go and not teach. Now we're getting into particulars. This is why I don't like that word, the best. You give your all, because if you're going, then you're going to teach. What you're going to teach, you're going to teach what? The Word of God. How do you teach the Word of God? The Word of God is reading and studying His Word of God, reading it. And not only reading it, but also you got to live by faith. You have to live it. You just can't go and teach without living. You have to live by faith. Faith come by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. You got to live by faith. You have to build your faith up in order to go. In order to teach, you got to live by faith. Then you have to walk in the Spirit. Not run, but walk in the Spirit. A lot of us are running. And when we're running, we're losing because we're rushing. And we're setting a pace that we can't keep up with. But when you walk and you're walking, that means you can observe things. You can watch out for things so you don't trip and fall. But if you so should happen to trip and fall, you can get back up and see why you tripped and why you fail. And with that, you know, walking, you're taking your time. And when you take your time, you can hear what God is telling you. This is what it's going to take to be a good disciple. This is what it's going to take to be able to win people to Christ. You have to walk. You have to take your time. Stop rushing. Stop trying to be quick. And see, people want to be the best. They want to do it quickly. They want to know you don't want to be quick. And the reason you don't want to be quick, and I'm getting ahead of myself, is because it's not designed for you to be quick. It's designed for the Lord to be quick. He wants to hurry up and bless you, but he can't hurry up and bless you if you're rushing. He can't hurry up and bless you if you're not taking the time to hear his word. Because if you do everything the way he designed it to do, if you go, you teach. Also, you got to love the Lord. You got to love others. You got to stand out. You got to, I believe, Kay, you said, deny yourself. You got to be firm in God's word. You have to fellowship with other believers. You have to be an imitator of Christ, and you have to be dedicated. And if you do all of those things, that would make you a good disciple. But the first thing we have to do is, A, you have to give him your all. Your all, not your best, your all. And I can't stress that enough, because you can't get to the next step if you're shortchanging God. And see, God, we're living in the last days right now.
It's all the best in me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You said it. You said it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. but... You have to give your all.
Can I add to what you're saying in that first part where it says therefore go and make disciples of all nations? When I was looking at that, just for that portion right there, the word go means you have to travel from one point to another. It's not like you're sitting still. It says go, and it says go. And when I hear people say go, they say that's a commandment. That's a command. It's a demand for you to do that. And I was looking, I'm like, it's also an encouragement for you to do that. Because the Lord is like, he already taught them what they needed to know. So he's encouraging them to go do what he needs them to do to make disciples of all nations. That doesn't mean that you just talk to the people that look like you, or you just talk to the in your inner circle. It's to go all nations. So anybody that you meet, you should be able to present the word of the Lord to that person, because he's encouraging you to make disciples of all nations, not just the people on your block. All right, go ahead. Add this little point too. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Baptizing them, the Trinity. That's all I'm going to add. Go ahead.
I'm
going to add.
Yeah, in the part of going, you know, whatever direction the Lord had you going in, you know, it was funny because I went out today and I started surveying the land of where I want to pass in tracts and witnessing to. And as I was surveying the land and I was going out in different neighborhoods to see where God wants me to go, and being on the phone, people were like, well, when you going, we got to set up a time. And see, this is what we need to do, and this is where I'm coming at. I know a lot of people ain't going to like this, but I'm not setting up a time when I go witness. Because when you set up a time, and you say, we're going to meet on Saturday, and we're going to go do this. Okay, well, you're giving the devil, you're opening yourself up. The devil know you're coming. See, the devil don't need to know we're coming. We just need to go. And when we go, we need to go on our, we don't need to announce it, because when we announcing it, are you announcing it so your brothers can go with you, or are you announcing it so people can think that you're doing what God wants you to do? Is it for show? So if you're witnessing and you want to be a disciple, you ain't got to tell everybody what you're doing. You just go. You don't need to make an announcement. You don't need to put it on a platform. But if you see, and I'm not talking about Praise Tabernacle, but if you see other churches and other churches I've been a part of, they're going to say, well, we're going to go out every Saturday at noon to witness. And Kay, you know, just as well as I know, when you set plans to do something, something always come up where everybody can't make it. Now you're not at full strength. Now you're a little discouraged. Oh, well, Kay can't go. My wife can't go. Now I can't go. And now I can't go. Now no. But if you're going out doing it as part of your everyday life, giving God your all, you don't need a group of people. You don't need to make an announcement to go witness and tell people about Christ. And if you think you need an audience to do it, then you're doing it for self. You're doing it for
self. And it's important. It's important that when you do go out to speak to someone, make sure the Spirit is leading you to do that, because you going out there and it's a lot of different spirits out there. And be prepared, the Lord, on where you should go, how you should go. Don't just randomly just say, oh, I'm going to do blah, blah. Ask the Lord what you should be doing.
Okay,
ask
now,
the Lord.
Now we've got to get into the nitty-gritty of where I'm coming at. Because you have some people who want to be perfect, want to be uppity, and want to look at everybody's mistake. It don't matter what it is. Those type of people I can't work with. Because if you want to dot every I and cross every T, well, when I write something down, it's not going to be every dot. Every I ain't going to be dotted, and every T may not be crossed. There may not be periods. There may not be commas, because I'm not perfect. The thing about it is the message of getting across. However the Lord leads you to go, you go. You're not going to be perfect in your going. But if you're going and you're giving your all, the Lord is going to work with you right then and there where you are to be able to minister how you need to minister. I like to always say I'm from the hood, but I'm really not. I grew up in the suburbs of Mineral Ridge around a lot of rich white people is what I grew up with. My daddy's church was in the hood, so on the weekends I was in the hood. But pretty much through the week I was in the suburbs. I say that for a reason, because I know how to talk the talk when I'm around certain people, and then I know how to get hood when I'm around other people. So it's a blessing because I can go in the hood and know how to act and be respectful. But if you want to be perfect and you can't stand to hear people cuss because you don't cuss and you've been delivered from cussing, but you don't want to hear it, then you don't need to go to the hood. But you want everything else to be perfect. I hope I'm making sense when I say this, because I'm saying it, and I hope people understand what I'm saying. You cannot try to be perfect and yet go around people who are not perfect and act like you better than them. Their I's are not dotted and their T's are not crossed. You know what the point is. If I spell the word sum, S-U-M, instead of S-O-M-E, and you want to correct me for spelling it S-U-M, but you know what I'm talking about, because some of us need Christ. Now, whether I spell sum, S-U-M, or S-O-M-E, we all know some people need Christ. You know the word sum. You know that means somebody needs Christ. Now, if you want to be correct and be an English teacher and correct how it's spelled, then you're missing the point, and you're not going to be able to save nobody because you're too uppity. And we cannot afford to go into this season with an attitude of being perfect, like we're better than everybody else. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because I don't want no one to be tripped up. I'm going out to win souls, period. Now, if I spell the word souls wrong, or because I don't have no period to put in the right proper place, you know the meaning of what I'm trying to do. But if you want to put me down because I'm not perfect in my English, Moses wasn't perfect in his English either, and look what he did. And when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and the people said, why are you healing on the Sabbath day? And you looked at them like they was crazy. The rule and the only rule to the game is if God called you, he's going to prepare you. And if he's going to prepare you, he's going to do it in the ability that you're able to do it in. Everyone can't go to the hood. Everybody can't. And if you do go in there trying to be perfect, you're going to mess it up, not just for them, but for yourself as well. And some of us need to get off these self-righteous horses that we're on and come down like we got some sense, because it's not that hard to minister to Christ. It's not that hard. It's easy. It's so easy that we make it hard. I used to be one of them uppity people back in the day, but now I'm plain. I'm going to make mistakes. My wording ain't always correct. I may misquote something. I'm man enough. If you tell me I messed up, okay, cool, my bad. Let's correct it. Let's learn this thing together. But if we always want to be better than everybody else and say we're the best, no, you're not the best. I'm not the best, but I'm going to give my all, because God will be happy with me giving my all, because I don't know what my best is. Long as I'm better than you, K, then I'm good. And that's what Christians think today. We just don't want to call it out because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, because everybody want to be perfect. And I'm not saying we shouldn't strive for perfection, but you're going to fall. And the thing about falling is this, and I've learned this the hard way. So take it from someone, I can experience this. I've fallen over the same hole over and over. But you know what? I can't blame the devil. It's my fault. Because I got right back up, took two steps back, and went and tripped again. Because I was comfortable right there. And I can't go forward if I keep tripping over the same thing I'm tripping over. But then on the flip side of that, I've learned I got to let some stuff go and go forward and leave it alone. And when you go forward and you leave it alone, A, it's a relief. B, it's deliverance. And you didn't give your all to the Lord and you overcame it. So now that you're walking and you then overcame that hump in the road and you're going forward, now you're on a different level. So you might trip up. You might got delivered through the drinking. You might got delivered through the cussing. Now it may have to be your attitude. But look what you then came from. A lot of us look back and we think we didn't arrive because we don't cuss, we don't drink no more. But your attitude is nasty. And it's been nasty for years. And it ain't changing. And what I'm trying to get people to see, especially for righteous, selfish people who think our stuff don't stink, is no, you're the problem. And until people start calling you out, you are the problem, because you want all your T's crossed and I's dotted. And if it's not, you're going to try to correct somebody, but you know what they're trying to say. You understand it. You got it. And basically, that's what I'm trying to say for us as Christians. This message may not be for everybody. Some of us get it. Some of us, when we get up in the morning, we give our all to Christ. And we may stumble along the way throughout the day. I could have been better here, could have been better there, but we're going to do better tomorrow. And you get up tomorrow and you go. But if you think, for the life of me, that when I'm doing my walk for Christ, and I'm not going to dot every I and cross every T. I keep saying that for a reason. Because I'm just not going to do it. Not because I'm not capable of doing it, but sometimes the message, sometimes you don't have to cross the T. Sometimes you don't have to dot the I in order to get the message of salvation across. Sometimes you ain't even got to say a whole lot in order for them to accept Christ. And once they accept Christ, are you still going to go back and try to dot the I and cross, and the mission has already been done? No, now you're trying to be God and clean them up too. If they accept Christ, leave it alone. That's, and keep it moving. The Holy Spirit is going to guide them and raise them and teach them, not you. So if you keep telling me to dot my I and cross my T, you got a problem, not me. Because the message is always going to be the same coming from Elder Oliver. Salvation, deliverance, repentance. That's how it's going to come. Every day I get up, I got to repent. Every day I get up, I got to claim my salvation. And then I have to give the Lord my all. Just like that. And sometimes it don't take all day to get people to Christ. It don't take all day. But some of us want to make it an all-day job. We want to spell the whole word out for them and put everything, and that's not your job. Your job is to give them Christ, not to dot every I and cross every T, to be uprighteous. Like your stuff don't stink, like you're not going to fall. If we want to be better disciples, if we want to go, we want to teach, we want to love the Lord, we want to love others, we want to stand out, we got to deny ourselves. We have to be firm in God's word. And being firm in God's word is telling the word exactly the way it is. And once people accept it, move on. It's not your job to clean them up. Sometimes, if you just go and just show your loyalty to the Lord, that's enough to lead someone to salvation. That's enough. And when you're serving the Lord and you're doing it your way, and people see that you doing it your way, the way that God commanded you to do it, and you're giving your all, that's enough for some people. You ain't got to say nothing to them. Just them watching you. Be humble. Just them watching you. Love other people. Just them watching you. Show kindness. Just them watching you. Serve the Lord while you're going through a tough time. That's enough. You ain't got to say a word. Now, sometimes the Lord will lead you into conversations with him, and he'll lead you into leading people to Christ, and that's it. And sometimes it can be so easy, it's simple, but we want to make it hard. Once you lead them to Christ, now you got to do this. Now, the Lord ain't told you to do it. Lead them to Christ. Be a good disciple. Let the Holy Spirit clean them up. That's not your job, to correct everything about everybody. If I tried to correct my wife on everything that she did that was wrong, she could come right back and try to correct everything that I did, and now we got a battle going on with each other. But if we can love each other for what we do that is good and pleasing in God's sight, and let the Holy Spirit clean us up in areas where we're wrong. That's the Holy Spirit's job, not our job. Our job is very simple. Give them the word and keep it moving. Not to try to teach people how to clean themselves up. And that's where we go wrong. And I'm not saying that I can't be corrected. I've been corrected. I love being corrected. Because if I say something that's not right and you correct me, that's one thing. But if you try to belittle me and tell me that the I wasn't dotted and the T wasn't crossed, but the message still said the same thing. Is being born again and saved the same thing? If it's the same thing, what's the difference? Being born again, meaning that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Being saved is the same thing. I like to say saved because it's one word, saved. You can't mess that up. Being born again, somewhere you might get messed up. It's the same thing. You know it's the same meaning. But if you want to try to belittle the meaning because you don't put a period at the end or a comma, this, that, you know saved is saved, period. You're saved. Whether you put a period there or not, you're saved. When you get delivered, you're delivered. Whether you put a period there or not, you're delivered. But sometimes we want to add stuff to it, and it messes up the whole. It messes up everything. I'm saying it for a reason because I see people doing it, and it's not right. And just because it's me, I like to. I'm very transparent, and what I go through, I talk about it. I preach because I want to learn from my mistakes. I want to learn from. And I don't want people to make the same mistakes I make. So when I'm talking or I'm teaching, preaching, and I bring up something that I went through, I don't want no one else to go through it because I've learned from my mistakes. And I'm telling you, we take this discipleship, we don't take it serious enough, and then some of us take it too serious to we're not affecting nobody. And you can sound good to the religious crowd, and there's a religious crowd that will say, amen, oh, you're doing an awesome job, and this, that, and the other. But I've graduated to where I'm just on the Lord's side, and I'm just about people changing their lives by accepting Jesus Christ and being delivered. And then me personally, I want to give God my all. So if I'm giving him my all, when I see people trying to belittle me, giving my all by saying you need to do this and you need to do that, no, it's not your job to tell me that. It's the Holy Spirit's job to tell me that. Now, if you want to correct me, and I think one day I said that, and I've said it, and I probably said it, and I may say it again, that David wrote all of Psalms. He didn't write all of Psalms. He wrote probably 98% of Psalms. But it's a mistake. I could deal with that type of correction. That's you don't want to get the wrong information out there. You don't want to do that. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about when you lead someone to Christ and they accept Christ, leave it alone. Keep it moving. Don't tell them to dot every I and cross every T. If they accepted Christ, they accepted Christ. Let the Holy Spirit do their job. If you got the message, then you got the message. Don't go looking for stuff that's wrong with the message.
Let me ask you a question with that statement you just made. So, because I always, in my brain, you know, when somebody gets saved, I'm saying, what's next? Because a lot of the times people can get saved, but when you go home, it's a little tougher situation that you might be in. You got saved. But how do I walk this thing out? How do I live this thing out? So you do have to continue the process. You just can't say, okay, I saved, okay, goodbye. there has to be a follow-up. There has to be, because the next part of that scripture says, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded thee. So
teaching them, and all that what you're saying is right. Follow-up, I don't have an issue with following up on people, and that's not what I'm saying, so let me get this corrected. Yeah, you follow up as the Lord leads you to follow up with them. What I'm saying is once they get it, it's the Holy Spirit's job to clean them up. Now, we're there to coach them as the Holy Spirit cleans them up. We're there to encourage them as the Holy Spirit cleans them up. Yet, teaching them was right and wrong. That's what the Holy Spirit job, and that's what we're supposed to do when they get saved. What I'm talking about correcting them is when they get saved, you can't come giving your logic, your what you think, how you that's not what it's supposed to do. Teaching them, helping them, encouraging them, not critiquing what they do or how they do it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We're there to guide them. It's just like getting in the swimming pool. If you don't know how to swim, that's one thing. But when you get in the water and you start to swim, you guide them. You let them use it. If they start kicking, and you're fine with them. Long as you holding them, they're going to have to work it out for themselves through the Holy Spirit. That's when they got saved. They became alive. The Lord is going to, all they need us to do is guide them, not chastise them, not tell them everything is right or wrong or what they're doing, because it's old things are passed away. Everything, get everything right today. Every T ain't going to get crossed today. Every I ain't going to get dotted today. I don't dot all my I's across all my T's. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. As long as I don't make the same mistakes. And once
at
I go from
time,
as a letter, as a
at
letter.
At the same time, though, with that.
But
at the same time,
let me say this, because I don't want to forget it. In a letter, you have the beginning, you have the body, and you have the closing. If I don't dot all my T's in the beginning, it's okay. I may not dot all of them in the middle. It's okay, because you understand the letter the same. It's the same thing. You're going to miss some things. We're going to stumble somewhere along the line. We're not perfect. That's all what I'm saying. You can tell me all day, cross your T's, cross your T's. Okay, but you understand the word text, T-E-X-T, but you don't see the T. Okay, that must mean text. Okay, I get it. I'm not stupid. I'm not, okay, I got it. Now, to go back and try to correct and belittle me, we already know what it's saying. What I'm saying is someone that gets Christ in their life, they've already know the next step is going to be hard. They already know it's not going to be easy. We don't need to alliterate what's not going to be easy. We got to be there to encourage them. Encourage them. I'm not saying, I'm not talking about people that's willfully doing stuff. I'm talking about people who literally want to live for Christ and give his all to them. That's who I'm talking about. I ain't talking about these wishy-washy people. So when you're helping someone, you're encouraging them. The Holy Spirit job is to chastise them. And if they're walking and giving their all, when they get chastised, they're going to make a decision. It ain't got nothing to do with what I tell them or what you tell them. When the Holy Spirit chastises them because they accepted it, it generated it to become alive in them, they're going to know right from wrong. And we're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job, and we just need to stop trying to do the Holy Spirit's job and just be there for people when they need us. Guide them. You didn't get quiet on me. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm letting you go. Go ahead.
No, I'm done now. Hopefully I didn't make my point. And I'm just trying to get it so people understand it, that we're living in a day and they're living in a time that the harvest is ripe. If you go out there and you smell it. You just know the time is right for us to be doing what being about our Father's business. And it's time out for trying to
be more than what we think we are. You ain't got quiet on me. Did I say something ruffle your feathers?
No, actually, I'm sorry. My head is on 1,000, so I apologize. I was taking some medicine. But to say what I was trying to say, it's important for us to, like you said, we're here to guide people, and our lives should be an example to other people if we're doing it right. If we're truly living for Christ, people will see it. We don't got to announce it. If we're not living for Christ, people will see it. We don't have to announce it, because a lot of the times, I'm sorry, I'm winded. A lot of the times we, people put on these airs. Okay, you want to lead somebody and tell somebody how to do something, and it's like, okay, are you doing it? A lot of times we tell people to do stuff that we're not doing. So be an example as a believer when you're going out witnessing to people, because when you go out there game recognized game, they're going to know if you for real or not. They're going to challenge you, I'm sure. But stand on what the word says. Stand on the word of God and what God is telling you for that person or that group of people. Just be encouraged to do what the word is telling you to do. And again, don't do it in your own strength and in your own will. Do everything according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and let God do what he needs to do in that individual's life. It may just be a one-word thing. It may just be a smile. You don't know. However the Lord leads you to be a disciple to that person or to those people, do what the Lord is telling you to do. It's not about, you know, there's a scripture, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you come to Christ, there's no condemnation. The enemy is the one who wants to condemn you and bring up things that you did and how you didn't do this and how you didn't do that. That's not God doing that. So when you talk to other people and you're ministering to somebody, keep in mind that your job is to encourage them and give them what the word says. Remove yourself. At the same time, the pastor has been teaching on the woman at the well. So the Lord spoke to her in a natural state where she could understand the water. Then he went spiritual. I mean, you have to meet people where they are. So you have to have a common ground to relate to them. That don't mean you need to go and try to hit the blunt with them or go and to have a drink with them. No, do it the way the Lord is telling you to do according to what his word says. But don't act like you're better than anybody, because there's no favoritism in God. You just saved by grace. So help somebody else get there. And that's all I wanted to say.
And I just want to reiterate what you said about, you know, don't go and have a blunt with them. And I'm going to be very transparent when I say this. I don't have a weed problem. I don't have an alcohol problem. Some people do and can't be around it. And I understand it and I get it. But there's some people that I'm going to be around that smoke the stuff. I'm not going to act like I'm so super spiritual, like I ain't never smelled no weed before, like I'm holier than thou. That's the type of people I'm talking about. And you're going to try to win people to Christ with that type of attitude is not going to work. Stay away from them, because you're going to do more harm to them and maybe to yourself because you think you're uppity. I don't have a weed problem. I don't. I know a lot of people that smoke it. I don't particularly like it or care for it, but I'm not going to act so super spiritual like I'm shocked because someone's smoking weed.
That's
forget the weed. A lot of people got gossiping tongues, and you going around somebody you know is a gossiper, and here you go talking about some, you telling somebody's testimony when you gossiping. So not just, it ain't got to just be the outward things that could harm our bodies. It's the stuff that we have inside of us, too.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, the gossiping, because, you know, you can't be gossiping to someone one minute and then trying to lead them to Christ the next minute after you didn't talk your brother out. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. But see, we and I'm guilty of it, then got so accustomed to it that we act like it's not sin. And I'm just saying, moving forward, in order for us to reap the harvest that's ready for us to reap, we have to check ourselves and stop tripping over the same thing we've been tripping over for 20 years. It's not a devil problem. It's not a Lord problem. It's a your problem. That's one side of it. The other side of it is trying to be like you all that, like you have arrived. You haven't arrived. You got a lot of cleaning up to do yourself. Even though you think you look perfect before everybody else, because you can tell people how to correct themselves. See, I'm not for the ones that I'm getting ready to close up. I'm not the one who think that I'm better than everybody else. I'm trying to make it like everybody else trying to make it. I'm trying to make it like the thief on the cross trying to make it. I'm trying to get in. But I also know that I have to give my all to Christ. And every little thing that chastising me that I'm wrong for, and when I'm trying to get it together, you know, it's like, okay. But yet and still, you see the pattern, because you see other people patterned just like I was patterned. Oh, I can gossip and then try to lead them to Christ. Or I can hit the blunt with them and still try to lead them. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's why the church is weak today. That's why you got a lot of weak punk preachers today, because they're weak. Put the suit on, we can shout, speak in tongues, and do all this other kind of stuff, but you're weak because you can't go out on the corner and witness without having a posse with you. You want to tell everyone what they're doing wrong, what you're doing wrong. And I'm very leery of people who think that they're perfect in God's sight. See, I'm a preacher, and everyone known to me preacher. I'm known. And all you got to do is listen to me preach, because I'm going to tell on myself. I don't need no one to tell on me. I don't need no one to hold me hostage. I tell on myself because I'm trying to be a better person for Christ. I'm trying to give him my all. So I can talk about my issues because they're my issues. The Lord didn't already convicted me of it. So I know where I need to grow. And I don't need nobody telling me how to dot an I across a T when the Holy Spirit is chastising me on a daily basis. In the same way when we lead people to Christ and that their spirit man becomes alive, they are a new creature, God is going to deal with them a whole lot better than the way we can. We're there to guide them. We're there to help them along the way. The Holy Spirit job is to clean them up. That's all I got. Hopefully y'all got something out of this message. Hopefully you'll tune in for us next week. But yeah, I'm really looking forward for Now's the Time Revival. I'm telling you, it's going to be a blessing. We got some dynamic speakers coming in. We're going to have some great testimonies. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. And for people, praise Tabernacle. And even if you're not, I'm just telling you, come out to the hotel and let's show out so God can show up. Because we're going on the devil's turf. And this is what I like, a little storefront right where sin is. That's where we're going. So I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to be ready. Because I'm ready to do what the Lord has called me to do. And I want to be ready. I want to be in the best shape spiritually that I can be in when we get here on those days. And just a little shout out, that's a Chaos Revival, Now Is the Time, Four Males Preaching, B&K Bible Break. We're going to be doing a revival in the near future. We're going to have the women of God come up and present the word of God, because we're supposed to be going out trying to get people who are lost. This time is going to be a little different than the next time, but it's coming. So be ready, because we're going to try to feed people natural food and spiritual food. With that being said, again, tomorrow night, we have a Praise Tabernacle Bible study at 7 p.m. right here, same phone number, same website. So without no further ado, I'm going to have Lady K, you have any closing remarks, and you can dismiss us.
All right. I'm actually just going to give out our email address. It is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. If you have any prayer requests, any praise reports, testimonies, you can send those to us. All right, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. I pray that everybody have a great rest of the week and happy Valentine's Day in advance. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this evening thanking you for just letting your will be done. We ask that you continue to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask that your will just be done in our lives. Everything that we say and do, let it be pleasing unto you, because the only thing that's going to last at the end of the day is what we do for you. Lord, we lift you up, we honor you, we praise you, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray for the people that are hurting right now. I pray that you touch their minds right now. There's a lot of things going on with mental illness. I pray that you touch the hearts of your people to open their eyes to see what you see, to see people how you see them, and give them a heart. Give them your heart to, you know, minister to somebody to meet them where they are and give them the guidance and direction that they need. Father God, we love you. We praise you. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.